goes out from this place. And so we have to ask the question, don't we? So what? These people have said these things. These people have seen these things. I've prayed into it for almost 2 years. I've wrestled with God for some time now about what he might be saying. And so we've got to ask the question, haven't we? So what? So what if those people have said that? So what if this is what God has for us? What are we to do with it now? How are we to understand it? Well, let's look at our passages this morning. Whose ladder does this belong to? Who does this belong to? Any idea? Not physically or personally, but what's the illustration trying to say? Who does it belong to? Jacob. Genesis 28. We've just read about it, haven't we? It says a stairway, but in some it says a ladder. And we have that term in our society still today. It can mean various different things, but Jacob's ladder. So an illustration for us this morning for what God is saying to us through these words and these visions and these passages, we put it all together, is that it seems that God is saying that this space, this place in particular, is a place, not only a place, but an anointed place, in which heaven connects with earth. And now, surely that makes sense, because when we think about the Bible story, we have Jesus comes from heaven to earth. He humbles himself as the Son of God to take human form in order to connect heaven with earth. When we read this story with Jacob about this dream that he has with God, when it says that God stood at the top of it and the angels were ascending and descending, quite simply, that's an image of heaven, the doorway of heaven, the heavenly realms being opened to the earth. Doesn't always feel that way, does it? But this seems to be what God is saying to us, that this would be an anointed place in which heaven connects and communicates with earth, and where God connects and communicates with his people. And now, we bear in mind with this is that we are not the only people to worship in this space. And so praise God if it's not only us, but it might be Junction Church who receives some of this connection and communication between heaven and earth. Praise God if it's Candlestick. Praise God if it's someone else who uses this space to worship and praise his name. But it's something about this space that God is or will be anointing as a place where heaven connects with earth. So that means it cannot be a place where we just go through the motions of singing and sitting down and doing the odd prayer or two, or doing any of that going through the motions, traditional type stuff. There's something deeper that God is looking to do in and through us in this space. And I don't know about you, but that excites me, and I want to take full advantage of that. And hopefully we will see the fruit of our engagement with that. And now, if you know me well, and you've listened to my teaching carefully, you know I'm not massive on church buildings being the be-all and end-all of what church should be. Okay? There's far too many congregations that worship the building and not Christ himself. Or it seems that way. We can't do that. This is just a building. It's a special building. It was originally a building that was put here to reach people with the gospel. And we are thankful for that. We're thankful for this space. But we can't put all of our emphasis on the building. You know my theology about we are living stones, and as we come together, we become that holy temple of God as his people, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That where when we depart from this place, it's 7 days a week that we live out our faith and relationship with Christ. But it seems as we read through the Bible, that God does put special emphasis on particular places. And so why would he not anoint and make holy this space to do something special in it and through it? Places set apart for the Lord. And so, the thing is about all of this, though, is that we have this space, and we're thankful for it, and we have such an honour and a privilege of being able to come here week after week after week. I meet with other ministers who don't have a building, and they have great difficulty in renting and having to set up every week and have huge teams to do lots of different things in order to set up rooms. And it's hugely stressful for them. They would love to have their own building. But again, we've got to go back to that thing, haven't we, that it's us and not the building that needs to do the work. But ultimately it seems, as I say, that God is saying something about this particular space. And so we must come and centre ourselves on Christ. Because it's not just about an anointed place and space. It's not so much about the place as it is the means by which heaven connects with earth. And by which, as people on earth, we can connect back to heaven. Will that just click through to the next, to just the two bits that should be on there? And so we come to the thing that makes it possible, the thing that makes a connection with heaven and earth possible. Because we know from our theology that Jesus died and rose again. He appeared to a number of people over several days. And then we see at the beginning of Acts chapter 1 that he ascends. And where does he ascend to? He ascends into heaven, where he is now seated at the right hand side of the Father as our high priest, as our intercessor, as one who we communicate with in the heavenly realms. And so that's just part of who we are as Christians. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying to the Father, we're praying to Jesus in the heavenly realms. But how is it that we bring heaven to earth and not just the opposite way around? Well, if we think closely about Genesis 28 and John chapter 1, quite clearly it seems to me that Jesus is saying that he is the fulfillment of the dream that Jacob had on that day. When he says that he is to be known as the Son of Man, and that angels will ascend and descend upon him. We will see greater things than these. All of that language. Jesus effectively saying to us that he is the fulfillment of that ladder, of that stairway. What is the stairway? It represents a connection between heaven and earth. And so as we, as his people, become Christ-centered and Christ-focused in every single area of our lives, it's not that we're ticking boxes, but as we have that intention of Christ-centeredness, Christ-focused way of worshipping in this place and in our whole lives, but particularly in this space, it seems. As we go through the Spirit to Jesus, to the heavenly realms, we are connecting earth with heaven, and heaven will respond to that worship. And so we connect through our salvation in Christ, don't we? That Christ came, he left heaven. He humbled himself to become God in the flesh. And there was one purpose for that, wasn't there? That he would go to the cross to die a horrific death. And the representation of that death, the symbolism of that death, the reality of that death, is that he would take upon all of our sin upon himself. Every way in which we have diverted from the path of God, every which way we have gone away from God, upon himself, that he might take on the wrath of God, that we might not have to endure that, that we might be saved if we place our faith and our trust and confidence in him. We have that salvation in Christ, and that is how we are born again into a relationship with Him as we receive the Spirit of God. And we should have an everyday, prayerful, in His Word kind of relationship where He transforms us, that we can connect with people, we can connect other people to Christ, we can display Him in our lives. We connect through the salvation that we have received. We connect through worship. We connect through fellowship. We connect through discipleship. We connect through mission. The values that we have as a church. And of course, we connect through the free gift of the Holy Spirit of God given to us. And so as we lift up Jesus Christ as Lord in this place and in our lives, we are connecting with Him in heaven. So we have a job to do in all of this. Is that as we respond in Christ-centered worship and praise and discipleship and doing the mission and ministry that God has set before us, we are sending that worship, sending that praise to heaven. And there's a response in heaven whereby God does stuff. He transforms us. He does things that are unimaginable. Where we think things are impossible, He begins to do the possible, or make it seem possible. It becomes possible. And the list goes on and on and on in ways in which we connect with the heavenly realms and the results of all of that stuff. And so here's the thing. Could it be that the Lord God is saying to us that this place, this space, is to be a special place where heaven connects with earth in a very real and tangible way? That's the difference. Because I don't doubt that when we come here to gather together, and we sing praises, and we worship the Lord God, and we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't doubt that we are connecting with heaven. I don't doubt that we don't have that intention. I certainly do. But actually it seems that God is saying that as we begin to do that, as we move forward, that there's going to be some sort of special anointing on this space as we do that. And that we're going to begin to see some different things that we've never seen before, that are going to be very heavenly-like, that are going to transform us, and that are going to bring people here, and that this is going to be a place where people connect with heaven and connect with God Himself. And could it be that as that becomes reality for us, as God begins to do something special in this place, something anointed, something set apart, something that we've never seen before, something that might make us feel uncomfortable and unusual. Could it be that it becomes reality that we are so anointed and on fire for the Lord God that we truly become those bright, shining beacons of light? The other word that we've been given over time. Could it be that as this takes place, this special anointing, that we become those bright shining beacons of light that invade and eradicate the darkness in this city, in your workplaces, in your communities, on your street, in your families, in your friendships, across all of your relationships? Could it be that God is anointing this space for us as His people to receive something special, to receive the power that we were singing about this morning, that we might go and be those shining beacons of light, that we might be light in the darkness? And this morning is special because we're going to do something. Verse 18 and 19 in Genesis 28, we notice there that Jacob, having declared that it was a special place where God had met him and where he felt that God was really there. What he does is that he then takes the initiative to anoint that place as the house of God. To anoint that place as a place where God meets in a special way with his people. He used oil on that day. Oil, symbolic of lots of different things. But it's used for anointing, to set something apart, to consecrate something specifically for the purposes of God. That's exactly what he did on that day. And so this morning, what I want us to do as the band come back, is we're going to sing a song, and it's a song that talks about Jesus, and directly singing as though we are connecting with him in heaven as our King. And as we do that, we're going to come to a break in the middle, and we're just going to offer some space for the Holy Spirit to just come and do what he wants to do. Now, some of that might not be visible. Some of it may well be visible. Some of it may happen and you might go away and you might come back and think, oh, I need to say something about that. Some of it might be that he might place some scripture on your heart that you need to read out. Some of it might be that he might give you something to say. Come and check that with me before you say it. Some of it might be that he might encourage you to pray. Some of it might be that you begin to do some stuff in our worship today that you would normally do in your private life, but you're maybe too afraid or too uncomfortable to do it in a public setting. Maybe God is encouraging you to do that today as well. That might be speaking in tongues, it might be getting on your knees, it might be lying on the floor, it might be doing something else. But I wonder if you might have the courage and the desire and an intentionality about seeking God in those ways in this space today. And what we're going to do during that time is we're going to call forth an anointing upon this space and upon the people of this place. We're not going to take any risks. God may well have already anointed this place, but I don't want to take any risks. I was more led to the fact that Jacob took the initiative and he sought the anointing through the oil. And so we're going to do that today as well.